are from different places, we all have different names. No matter what life brings us, Jesus is the same. We're just your Methodist to the madness. Methodist to the madness. Methodist to the madness. Methodist to the madness.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Three, two, one.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I gotta go. No, I don't have to go.
Actually,
it's kind of like the rocket ship. 3, 2, 1, rocket ship. That's nothing. What?
This podcast has been way too long. It's been at least 30 seconds. I gotta go.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. There you go.
How are you guys doing? How have the past couple of weeks been?
Let's see. So I have some things that I want to share that I think would be kind of interesting for everybody. So the first is I realized that I am just way too attached to my smartphone. And I was already kind of thinking that that was the case. But then I got some information from one of my coworkers today, and he asked me, hey, do you have smartphone anxiety? And I'm like, you know, maybe I actually have that. So like essentially feeling like I need to check my phone just because I might be missing something or whatever, or I might have some notification that didn't go through, or I might have been in the bathroom and a notification went through, didn't hear it or something like that. And so I think I just kind of routinely check my phone way too much. And so I think what would help me is I think the first thing is I just got to stay off of social media as much as possible. Like I am to the point now that I want to do something else. I want to not be engaged with like the micro rewards that come with social media and just generally any kind of micro reward that comes from my phone. And like those like little things that kind of like add a little extra to my day, and they don't really add anything extra to my day though. That's the thing. It kind of feels like it's like a fake extra to my day or something. And so I think I'd rather just like be in stillness during those moments instead, or like pick up my book or something, or do something where I'm a little bit more productive. So yeah, that's one thing that's kind of occurred to me, recently. And so I'm going to take positive steps to kind of like incorporate more stillness into my lifestyle. And so I can read more and maybe even play some games instead. One of my coworkers recommended this game called Clair Obscur Expedition 33, and it seems like a pretty interesting game. Maybe when I play that some more, I'll have an update for next time. But the other thing that I wanted to mention is I finished Project Hail Mary. I don't think I mentioned that on the last episode. And that book is fantastic. I am so glad that I stuck through it. I think the problem that I was having with that book is I had the wrong expectations for what the book was going to be. And so that diminished my appreciation for it. And I wish I had gone into it with like no expectations, kind of like when you go into a movie and you have no expectations, or you think it's going to be worse than it actually ends up being. That's how I need to go into every experience. But yeah, Project Hail Mary is just like totally like renewed my appreciation for science fiction in general. When I read a science fiction book cover to cover, it was Ender's Game. And that was when I was a teenager. And I reread that book a few times, but never really like scratched the surface when it came to other science fiction. So, So for anybody that's listening, I would highly recommend listening to the audiobook for Project Hail Mary. It's just a really fantastic, like, story where the main character is just like saving the earth from an impending disaster. And I just love the way that the author interweaves the past and the present based on the fact that the main character has memory loss. And he just like brings it together at the end in such a satisfying way. And I just love how the science is like accurate because it's hard science fiction. It just kind of made me more intrigued about science in general, like not only astronomy, but like chemistry and just like it's just really fascinating. And I started listening to Artemis, which is another Andy Weir novel. And so it's totally different than Project Hail Mary. And it's refreshingly different. So I'll probably have a little bit more to share on that next time. But yeah, I think that's the main stuff that I wanted to share.
Nice. I'm so glad you finished that book, Tim.
Oh, thank you.
I still haven't finished it.
You were so worried that you weren't going to finish it.
Yeah. Yeah, or something, like constantly like caught in the unfinished state. And I had so many of my coworkers had finished it, and I was like the last one. But hey, you know, slow and steady wins the race, I guess. So
totally.
So
Beth, how have you been up?
Yeah, how is everything, Beth?
Well, let's see. Last Wednesday, I on Craig's birthday, we went to the movies. His birthday was October 15th, and we saw A Nightmare on Elm Street 2. And then that movie started an hour and a half later than it should have. They were having technical difficulties. So we waited the entire length of the movie to watch the movie. But while I was there, I saw that they had like Wicked tickets for sale. So I was like, I better snatch those up. And I bought two tickets to see Wicked for Good 3D. And then like earlier last week, I was like, I feel like I bought tickets to see Wicked. I should see when that is. It was the 19th. So we went on Wednesday the 19th, I think, if those dates line up. I don't know if they do, but so yeah, I dragged Craig to see it, and it was really good. And yeah, then Thursday Craig had a, I think it was a birthday party, like a work birthday party thing at Medrano's, and had some fun. And then it was the Medrano's by the mall. And because of all the fun that he was having, he accidentally left his car there and somebody else drove him home.
Yes,
he did. He accidentally on purpose.
Left. I hate when you lose your keys, you know, it's just.
And so the next day I kept joking around, like he came home and I kept joking around that since he left his car by the mall, that I was like, oh, I have to drive you to get your car. I guess I'll just go see Wicked again. And I joked about it so much that I just decided to do it.
That's awesome.
The show that started, I think, as early as like 8:30. And I opted for like a 12:15 one. I didn't get it, but...
Mm-hmm.
So that was good. I probably had more, but that was all my excitement, seeing the Wicked movie twice in one.
That's year. Awesome. Yeah. You know, I forgot to mention that I saw the Wicked for Good as well. And I thought it was really good. It actually was very interesting. I didn't get a chance to see the first one before the second one. And I should have. No, I saw the first one like a year ago, but I wanted to rewatch it. And what's crazy is I'm like, hey, ChatGPT, can you give me the primer for the first movie and in, going into the second movie? What do I need to know? And ChatGPT gave me wrong information.
It does that. That's why I don't trust AI. I've also been helping Jonah with algebra, and that's breaking my brain, but that's always my life. But I have this AI app called Solvo, and it can help you with math problems and, like, you know, biology, all the science and maths you could ever hope and dream of. I don't know. So what it's really cool. Like, you take the problem and then it has, like, you know, a little picture window, and then you press the take a picture button, and then it scans it, and then it tells you how to do the problem. But I would say about 1 in 5 times, like, it's wrong. And I am not strong in math, which is part of the problem why I'm using Solvo in the first place. But because I'm not strong in math, it's infuriating to me when I look at it and I realize it's giving us wrong information. Mm. So I don't.
But wouldn't that make you good at math if you realize the math is wrong?
I think so.
It makes me just bad, just good enough at math to realize that it's wrong, but not good enough to math, not good enough at math to figure out why it's wrong or what we need to do to fix it. I'm like, I just know this is wrong. So I don't know. But also I think it misreads the numbers sometimes, because it'll give like the wrong number. And I'm like, that's clearly a 7, not a 29. It doesn't confuse 7 and 29, but that'd be very funny if it did. So
I think 90% of the time I appreciate AI's feedback, because usually it's stuff that I'm trying to ponder and like think a little more deeply about. But yeah, the other wrong information that AI gave me was, you know, Beth, you know how I talked to you about the finch app and I'm like, oh, maybe you can like raise more than one finch. Mm-hmm. I got that information from the AI.
Oh, yeah.
And no wonder it was wrong.
I don't trust any of the AI information. Like I'll read the summary and be like, okay, but then I'll go dig deeper, because a lot of the times it is wrong.
Uh-huh. Right.
Which is unfortunate, because it's going to steal all of our jobs and be wronger than people are. So
it's sure.
Yeah. These are all, oh my God.
Anyway, these are all facts.
How is AI ruining your life, Jessica? Just kidding. I'm with you.
I cannot understand you.
Wait, is this the real Jessica or is this AI Jessica?
Good, Jessica, that was eerily good.
Well, I it's actually funny, because I've been having more conversations with my faculty about implementing AI assignments into our curriculum, because students are already using AI to cheat, and we're so, and it's hilarious, because some kids will like copy and paste, and at the bottom of it, it's like, you know, something about ChatGPT, and I'm kind of like, guys, you could have at least like deleted that part.
Yeah,
right, like, right.
It's just like we know when students are using it. So, anyways, we're excited to start like implementing assignments that they have to show their prompts and teaching them how to use prompts correctly. And like, not only that, but how AI is currently working in the entertainment industry and how advertising and brand and marketing, all that stuff is already being integrated within it. And it's really cool. And so AI is actually doing pretty cool things in higher education. So,
yeah.
But other than that, things have been, you know, just chaotic as usual. And Miles is almost 8 months old, which is insane.
Wow.
He has 6 teeth and is super long. I don't know where that comes from. And he's starting to shimmy everywhere. He wants to go everywhere around the house. And that makes the day-to-day very interesting, to put it lightly. So I'm very fortunate that we have a babysitter that is going to be coming twice a week so that I can work, because that is important. So that's a plus. We are getting ready for the holidays, and we're really excited about all the, like the new things, and especially with like Miles, like we're excited to put the Christmas tree together and have him see it light up for the very first time. And, so all these things that are coming up, we're really excited about. But yeah, I mean, honestly, like the past couple of weeks, I feel like have been so chaotic and busy. But overall, I think things are good. You know, I can't complain.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think if there's anything specific that has happened, but
I thought you were trying to think of something you could complain about.
That's what I was thinking too, actually.
Let me see here. What can I complain about?
I'm going to stick with AI for mine.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Do you have an AI scenario that you can complain about besides the fact that your kids are, your students are cheating with AI and doing it in a really bizarre, like not very good or thoughtful way?
You'd think they'd ask ChatGPT, how can I cheat?
Right.
You know?
Way.
Well, actually, I think that would go against the code of conduct for ChatGPT. You're not supposed to use ChatGPT to cheat.
Well,
in your classes.
Exactly. Owen's in this speech class and he doesn't like it because the syllabus said something about how it's supposed to teach you how to like speak authentically and blah, 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 blah. But the class he said is it's like an AI made up class is what he thinks it is. So
really, oh my gosh, that's crazy.
Yeah. What the heck?
That's also kind of my beef with it. Like, yeah, that feels lazy.
I could definitely see how people like you probably could create an entire course off of AI. Like I probably could do that if I wanted to, but I won't do that because we literally have the greatest instructors who are one, humans, but two, they have so much experience and knowledge that like,
yeah.
How do you apply that to ChatGPT, like human experience, right?
Well, sum
up the past 60 years.
ChatGPT pretends it had those same experiences to relate to you. That's how it
right.
goes. Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, I think it's a great tool to use for like research and thinking and finding new perspectives. But I think when it comes to like implementing anything, the human voice is definitely... it will always supersede anything because it is our own. So,
yeah, I think you summed it up really well, Jessica. Basically, the subtitle at the bottom of ChatGPT sums it up in an interesting way. It says, "Check important information. AI can make mistakes." That's pretty much it. If you're using it for research thinking and like, you know, just whatever stuff that doesn't matter that much, like the weather, then it's fine. But if it's something like a research paper that you're trying to publish or like a class, then you might want to have second or third thoughts about that one.
See, what's crazy is
checking the weather, though.
What'd you say, Beth?
I think we should be fact checking the weather, though.
We really should. Yeah.
You know, raining, what's crazy, Tim, is like... What? At the bottom of ChatGPT, that's what I have at the bottom of my name on my email signature.
Oh, okay. Oh, good. No, check important. I see what you did there.
Yeah. I mean, isn't that true for humans? Like, we don't know it all. Guys.
Yeah, that's great. Check important information.
I mean, that would be hilarious if I put that at the bottom of my signature.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, let's I'm glad everybody's doing well. Let's head into one of our favorite times, which is our Methodist moment.
Methodist moment. Methodist moment.
I've been listening to the Wicked soundtrack and I just want to sing all operatic like Ariana Grande all the time. It is driving my family crazy.
Should we get the vinyl? Is the vinyl worth it? Should we do it, guys?
Yes. Let's do it.
Okay.
Yes. I think.
Wait.
So.
I do want to mention really fast. Did you guys watch the Wicked for One Wonderful Night?
I haven't yet.
I haven't. Wait. What is that? Is that the Broadway?
About watching it tonight. No, it's something that they put on NBC, right?
Yeah, that's the one. Amber and I were there in person.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Oh, wow.
I saw it.
I haven't watched it yet. I'm going to look for you guys in the audience or whatever.
Wait. Yeah, we tried finding ourselves and
What is One Wonderful Night? What are you talking about?
So they did like a promo at the Dolby Theater in Hollywood. And it was a pretty much the majority of the Wicked cast was there, and they were doing just like funny things and singing music from the movie. And they ended up for television, they ended up adding additional pieces.
Wow.
Like different content from other parts. I don't want to kind of give it away, but anyways, we were there for the taping though. The live taping. And so there was a part that was pretty cool that anyway, you guys, it's funny. Like I thought it was really funny. Like Jeff Goldblum's funny.
Jeff Goldblum. And,
what?
I love Jeff Goldblum. Like when I was watching the second movie, I was like whispering to Craig, I'm like, I want to hate him, but I don't. I like him too much.
And listen, he was awesome in Independence Day.
Yeah. Jurassic Park.
I mean, it's like anything classic. And it's like he's just the coolest. So anyways, you guys should watch that.
Conan
O'Brien. Okay, awesome.
Needs a friend because like their combined energy is amazing. Like it's they're just like up on this frequency, and when you get those two, like two, you know, slim tall guys, it's crazy energy. But it's
yeah. Okay, sorry, Tim.
Oh,
sorry.
No problem. No.
All right, what you got talking
about
us?
This? Okay, so so I'm gonna do something a little different that I've never done before. So I looked up the definition of psalm. I don't think I ever did look it up before in the way that I did this time. I don't know. Maybe I just forgot how to do a web search or something. But basically, one of the websites said that a psalm is a sacred song or poem as used in worship. And so today in here with the Methodist moment, I'm going to share. I don't know if you could call like a prayer a psalm necessarily, unless you call like every prayer a sacred poem or something like that. But
right.
In keeping the spirit of what we talked about in the podcast previously, I'm going to share a Tom or a Tim Psalm.
Hey.
And it's totally improvised. I didn't write it down or anything like that. So here goes. Lord, grant me the strength and peace that comes in trusting in you more closely and more intimately. And please help me remember to reach out to you more often in times of trouble and in times of joy. And I realize that I can actually become the best person that I can be if I trust in you more. And each time I have problems, each time I have doubts, If I trust in you, I see a path forward. I see a light because you are the light in my life. And I see that I can move forward with grace because of your grace. And I can overcome difficulties in my life that I couldn't overcome without you. And so help me remember that I can trust in you, even when I'm not totally certain that I should be trusting in you. It's like Pastor Jim said, it's a conversation. It's a communication. It's a connection that I can grow stronger in. And, one thing I was thinking about today is there are certain things in my life that I think I could move forward with, like I could actually overcome the obstacles that have been holding me back so much. If I just trust in you more, there's certain things in my life that I feel like I've legitimately been roadblocked on that. If I just have a more intimate communication with you, Lord, I can overcome those roadblocks. And so I seek to trust in you more to overcome those obstacles actually. And I have a deep hope that I can move forward in that direction today and going into the future. And so thank you for this opportunity that I could provide basically what I see is like an intimate confession. And maybe I had the desire to bring this forward to you previously today, and that might have been enough, but I'm very grateful that I could share it on the podcast here today. And so that is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
That was wonderful, Tim.
Thank you so much.
Later. What? We don't have to do prayers later. You already did yours.
That's true. Well, in some ways, that is true.
Just kidding.
But yeah, so that's my Methodist moment. And honestly, I think it has a lot to do with, I don't know, thinking about what we're going to share on the podcast today. And I think it helps a lot that Pastor Jim covered prayer in one of his sermons. You know,
oh, yeah.
I think he kind of set the stage for my having a stronger connection with God. And so, Jim, I don't know. Do you either of you have anything else you want to share on the Methodist moment before we jump in?
I was going to say, I think you're setting the stage for us to merge into our sermon feedback. That's what I was going to say.
That's what I was thinking.
Cool.
because I will say that your Methodist moment was pretty miraculous, Tim.
Thank you.
What? So I watched both of the sermons, one right after the other, the prayer one and then the one about miracles. And I really liked the prayer one. I didn't take any notes, but I liked the quotes that he shared about, you know, the different quotes from people about praying. And
oh yeah.
They're probably in Pastor, what's the sermon series called? The
Magic
right now?
Magic or mystery?
Okay, I was going to say the Ministry of Magic, but that didn't sound right. No. Is this the third? I mean, did we watch the fourth one?
This is, I believe, the second.
What?
Let me double check.
Wait. So what is it? Prayer was the third sermon, and miracles was the fourth sermon, and then we're done with the series.
What Tim said.
So what was before? Yeah. We had communion and
communion and baptism.
Baptism, yeah.
That's what it was. Okay. I did watch both of those too. Yeah, so if anybody wants to go back and watch those on YouTube, you can do that. And Pastor Jim always has sermon notes that you can follow along with in case
you
watch it and it really resonates with you, but you forgot to take notes because you're a normal person who doesn't take notes about the sermons. I know people who do take notes about sermons and they're not even doing a podcast. How crazy is that? It's fine.
It's wild.
But yeah, I really liked the first one and
the prayer one.
Yeah. The prayer one, the first one that I watched today. Yes.
Yeah.
And I was telling Jessica before you got on, Tim, that the story from the, what was the next one?
The miracle.
Oh yeah. The miracle. Yeah. It's a miracle that I couldn't remember. No. I was telling Jessica that the true story about the choir where every 18 people in that choir, like, were late for one reason or another. And like when we got to the end of the story where Pastor Jim said that right at 7:30, like there was a gas leak and gas was building up. And right at 7:30, there was an explosion. Like right where the choir loft just happens to be.
gosh.
And yeah.
Like that.
I was so astounded when I heard that. I gave me
goosebumps. Like,
yeah, me too.
And, but also I was like, well, I guess I don't have to worry about burning up. I'm never really for choir. Should I be? Yes, absolutely. Will I probably work on that? I doubt it, but.
Well, now I mean, you'll go to choir and then you'll be like, why is everybody gone? And then you're going to think about the story and you're going to be like,
oh my God,
should I be gone?
Yeah. Should I?
Yeah. Knowing my luck, I would be late and nobody would be there. And I'd be like, where is everybody? And then I'd go in and then just, I am the only one who exploded because I was.
No.
Or the one time I'm there early.
Oh God,
that would not happen.
No, so I
anyway,
all of that deck without anybody asking me what I thought. But what did you guys think?
I mean, I think for me, I think about like all the little moments, like you were kind of saying, like how everybody, you know, called in basically, and that happened. And I mean, for me, I literally went to the decisions that we make that we don't realize what those decisions will determine in 5 years,
like the butterfly.
10 years. And I say this because I go all the way back to when I was in the military and I got injured and I was so frustrated because I wanted to have a career out of my time in service. And that was cut short much earlier than I wanted. I was med boarded out of the military, decided to move to California to, you know, for education purposes. And I ended up meeting Amber. We have a family now, and I'm gonna, so think about that. And then I think about when I was in high, so this is all going to come together, guys. This isn't ADHD gone wrong. And then I think about, I was in high school and I brought one of my friends to Christ, and she ended up getting married. She has a family. She goes to church in Iowa. Cut to, my sister's in college. She graduates from college. She joins a small group. The small group leader is the girl that I brought to Christ when I was, whoa, in high school. She's at this church. They say, hey, we're going to start a church in Santa Barbara. And my sister sent us a postcard in the mail last week and said, I move into Santa Barbara.
What?
So you think about all of these little moments in our lives that we don't realize the bigger picture. But I'm now going to have family in California.
Out the way.
And so,
wow, but
this all wouldn't have happened had I not been med boarded at that time in the military, because then the window of when I met Amber probably wouldn't have happened had I served 20 years in the military. That would have never happened.
Yeah.
Whoa.
So all those little things and all those little moments where we feel like frustration, questioning God's plan, not understanding the big picture. Literally, I think back, and I've been in LA now, or I've been in the area, you know, in California for, what is it, 12 years now?
Wow.
And all these little things are happening. So it's a miracle, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So it's really, really cool.
Wow.
Did you watch
that
show
cool
on Netflix? Nobody Wants This. It's
with Kristen Bell
and Adam Brody and Rabbi. And well, the second, did you watch the second season? The second season just came out and
we haven't watched it yet, but we will. Okay.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. It's not a spoiler, but he goes to a family's house because they had a baby, and it's a Jewish tradition that a rabbi comes and, you know, blesses the baby, names the baby. Well, they pick the name, but there's parameters to the name. We don't need to get into it. That's not important. But like when he's addressing the family, he talks about those kinds of miracles. And he said that the amount of miracles that had to happen for that, you know, those two to meet and to have a baby together is like, you know, amazing.
Wow. Yeah.
I think about like, that's been in my head a little bit. And that's exactly what you just said, Jessica, like all the little miracles that had to happen to get you to where you are right now. Yeah.
Wow. That's amazing. Mm-hmm.
Isn't that crazy, guys?
Yeah.
Cool.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, and the small world, these aren't really miracles, but my therapist is friends with a Methodist pastor. I want to say she's in Whittier because that's where Pastor Angelo used to be. I think Pastor Angelo was before your time. You've only known Pastor John, right?
I've only known Pastor John.
Okay. Yeah. So she knows, her friend knows Pastor Angela. And then like last week I was talking about Pastor John and how I miss him. I don't know if he still listens, but if you do, Pastor John, I miss you.
And
she was wait, is Pastor John a small man? And I was like,
the what?
Smallest. and I gave her a couple anecdotes that were amusing to me about him, and I think she was like, I think my friend knows him too, and I'm like, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised that the pastor of Whittier, California, if that's where she is, knows the Burbank, California pastor. That wouldn't be that much of a stretch. I just thought it was cool though. Somebody knows the people I'm talking about.
That's so funny.
Oh, and I love what it. Did you think, Tim?
So I have a few things I want to share, but I want to share a miracle kind of situation myself. So
I want you to share us a mural.
I don't know what happened there. You know, like we say on this podcast, or I say on this podcast, word problems. Somehow just the word didn't come out quite right there. Luckily that wasn't during the Methodist moment. You know, it's just like,
it's okay. It's okay. We're all just being
God's timing. So it's fine.
Yeah. If that ever happens, just say, guys, I'm misophonia.
You know? No, I like being able to say that I'm having word problems on the podcast. I don't know. Something about that phrasing is just entertaining.
Because it sounds like you're really into math and real
that's true.
Applications. Yeah.
Yes. Well, actually, I don't know if I mentioned this on the podcast, but
we're talking about math on this
podcast. Besides the math problems, you know, the word problems, there's a song by Deadmau5 called Word Problems. And it's basically just like a regular progressive house song, but it's just like these robots saying word problems over and over. And for some reason I thought that song was really good. And
that's cool.
I liked it called Deadmau5.
Yeah. Deadmau5. Yeah. That's the way to say it to, like 3-year-old kids or something like that.
Because the last letter of their band name is a 5 instead of an
F. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. I'm glad you said that too, because like other people might actually search Deadmau5. Yeah. Yeah. Usually, they might not find the song. What?
Usually I over explain things and people are like, yeah, we know we put that together, but
I like over explanations.
You're the one.
Just, I want you to tell me in detail how you got to this conversation, guys.
Wait, miracles. I forgot I interrupted
too. Yeah. Oh, gosh.
I'm talking about Deadmau5.
I think I interrupted myself earlier. Okay, so So anyway, I think that it was some miraculous things that happened to me. So when I felt like I was actually finding my faith, you know, I was going into the Bible on my own and stuff after finding some non-traditional writers, kind of gave me courage and that I don't have to just accept what everybody else thinks about Christianity and the Bible and stuff. So I started listening to the Bible on my way to work and back, and I felt like it was really helping me a lot. And then that's when my mom and I were like, hey, maybe we should start looking around at other churches and stuff. And then I found Palmdale United Methodist Church. Like what are the odds of like kind of being having a just a more of a stronger faith experience and then finding that like my home church? That's like really cool. And that's so kind of like a small miracle. And then something I would consider a larger miracle is I think you two remember Stephanie, who gave her testimony at the church.
Yeah.
So it turns out that I had a connection with her that I didn't even realize was really intimate, that kind of brought her at the church. And it was only after I drove her home from VBS. I was volunteering for VBS and she happened to be volunteering then. I carpooled with her and brought her back to her apartment. And basically she told me that, she was looking around for a church and, I guess she was kind of on like a faith journey to find like a home church. Mm-hmm. And I guess she came on Christmas Eve and, she told me that I was one of, I was a person that came and, welcomed her to the church, and I was really friendly, and she felt really welcome by like the greeting that I had for her. And I told her that I was really happy that she came to Christmas Eve, and I'm hoping that maybe she'd like to come again. It made a huge difference in my life to be part of Palmdale United Methodist Church. And after she had that experience, she decided to start coming to the church more and see like if she had that experience where she was approached by somebody and it was a really friendly like encounter overall, maybe she'll have more like friendship in the church like that. And so that was a really like nice thing overall that she could share with me. I felt really honored that she could share that. And it was kind of like a little miracle because it's like, wow, I just happened to like see her in the church. And yeah. Like, I just, it had such a big impact on her like that. That's, so it's like I touched somebody's life and now their life is like completely changed and my life is completely changed. And, you know, that's just like really cool overall. So I just thought I would share that for a miracle.
Yeah.
Because Stephanie knew you, Tim, she has been changed.
Yeah.
For good.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, wow. I see what you did there.
The other thing I was going to say, do you know what I tell people when I talk about you, Tim?
What?
It's all bad, obviously. No, just okay. Kidding. I tell everybody who has met you or who has never met you that you have golden retriever energy. Which means you're just excited to be out of the house. You know, like you just like if anybody tells you good news, there's nobody happier for them than you. Like if I tell you good news, you're so excited about my good news. And that's how you are to like everybody who crosses paths with you. It's just like, and you're just this guy who's like, isn't life great? Isn't, you know, talking to people great? Like, ooh, talking to people, my favorite. Ooh, going to church, my favorite. Like, that's you. And I'm not at all surprised that you were the one who helped Stephanie, you know, become a regular member of this church, because you like, you just have this really excitable but also genuine energy. Mm-hmm. And And that, I think that's really cool about you.
Wow.
I tell everybody, golden retriever energy.
Wow, I really appreciate that. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And I am the blind cat of the group. You start telling people, yeah, she's kind of just like a blind cat. You can't
really... run into the wall the other day.
I just maybe help her where you can, but just kind of let her sit there.
You know, I'm a dog that thinks she's a cat. That's me. But it's also my dog, Jovi. Like, she's a dog, but she thinks she's a cat. She's got the little pointy ears. She's always licking her paws and doing the thing that cats do when they lick their paw and then they use it to clean their face. She does that all the time. And she's like, I love everything, but leave me alone. That's me. Like, I think... that's a miracle, actually, that we got her, because we were like, yeah, we want a dog that our other dog will get along with, one that gets along with other dogs. And they were like, we think this one does. So we're like, great. We took her home and they got along. But every other dog we brought into the house, she's like, I hate you. Get out of here. So, but also, if she is me in dog form, I think that's probably why I got her. I'm always like, when, oh, she's on a diet now, we put her on a diet. And but anytime anyone says anything about her weight, we got her in December of 2019, I'm like, hey, she's just carrying a little bit of COVID weight.
Exactly.
So that's, I feel like when people call her chubby, they're calling me chubby. But it's a miracle that I found my dog self soulmate. So
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
and I was kind of thinking that our podcast is kind of a miracle as well, because
it's a miracle that I got those episodes posted, guys.
Yeah, no, thank you.
That'll ask me on occasion, like, oh, so what's going on with the episodes? I'm like, I don't know, I just record them. And then Jessica,
yeah, you know, I just love like getting together with the two of you on this podcast. So
I do want to say I have every intention to get these done as soon as possible.
I know, as a person with ADHD, I definitely do.
Honestly, I'm glad
to get that.
Yeah, that's Jessica,
you know,
I was thinking today, and you know, this isn't really a miracle, but an interesting coincidence. I was kind of putting myself in your shoes, and I was thinking, if I was in this position, I would probably be thinking about it on a continual basis. Like basically at the forefront of my mind, and the fact that you just said that is exactly like,
all the stuff that I know I should be doing, but I'm not doing, I never forget it. It's always right here in mind. And it's all I think about, 'cause I'm not doing it, but
it makes me think that I should stop writing certain things down that I need to do, because once I write it down on a to-do list, then I stop thinking about it. And then if I don't reference the to-do list anymore, then it's just completely out of my mind.
Yeah. Well,
I tell people, like, if I've told someone I'm going to make them something, let's say some little crocheted rubber duckies for Deborah Reddish. I got those done like months after she requested them. And when I gave them to, well, before I gave them to her, I'm like, if it helps, though, I've thought about it every single day since I haven't been doing it.
Yeah.
I don't think that does help.
It's the thought that counts.
Yeah. I haven't forgotten. I just don't want to do it. My brain won't let me do it.
Other things just become priority, or like they need to be addressed very quickly.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I appreciate you saying that, Tim. I thought you were going to say you put yourself in my shoes and realize they're too small.
my either that or my feet are too big.
That's right.
That's funny.
So I want to jump into I wanted to comment a lot on the prayer sermon. And I thought that this is probably one of my favorite sermons from Pastor Jim. One of the most instructional for me as far as deepening my relationship with God. Because I think that prayer really is like a core foundation of like cultivating a richer relationship with God. Mm-hmm. And I really like how Pastor Jim brought up all the different ways that we like have a tendency to overcomplicate prayer, and then all the ways that we can make prayer like easier for us to acclimate towards. So it's like, okay, first thing, don't like super overcomplicate it, like do the word salad thing with God and then say in Jesus' name, amen. But you can just like be in complete hesitation, and the fact that you have desire to pray, that's, you know, yeah, that can be enough sometimes. And mm-hmm. like just all the ways. And I really liked how Pastor Jim said that in the doubt, like problem where you're like, I like the uncertainty issue that I might have when I'm praying, you know, that's part of the learning process of being able to pray better, like, or pray better, being like, cultivating that stronger connection with God. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I need to just kind of like work with it rather than fighting myself on it, like work with it a little bit and be like, okay, God, I don't even know what to say, but here I am, like, here's what I'm telling you. And it's just like nonsense right now, but getting into it now, I'm just like able to talk, and instead of just being silent. And yeah, so that's like really nice. And I also like how Pastor Jim said that you can cultivate, or you can make prayer a little bit more relatable for yourself by mm-hmm. incorporating visualization into it, or basically yeah. using your imagination. I thought was very intriguing and unexpected for like prayer. And when I really think about it, that is something that it kind of relates to like dreams or something like that. When I think about it, like how God would tell people things in dreams. And so like it kind of makes sense that we would want to incorporate our imaginations into our prayer relationship with God. Because like that's relating to God and as intimately as possible. I think that's the goal. So I think that imagination can really help with that. And then finally, I think it's really fascinating how, you don't have to have like some special formula for prayer. Like, you just kind of go in and be yourself with God. You be your authentic self with God. That's the yeah. most important thing that you can do in prayer. So I thought that was just really just so much content there. I honestly would probably find myself listening to that sermon a few more times just to get like as much as I can out of it. Like, it was just so helpful for me.
Yeah.
Do you know yeah. what the imaginative prayer reminded me of?
What?
When I do like meditation, like sometimes they'll give you like prompts and it'll say like, all right, when you take a deep breath in, imagine that the deep breath is going all the way up to the top of your
yeah.
head and then all the way back down. And, or like, imagine that your prayers waves and your, not your prayer, but your breathing or whatever. Yeah, so that's kind of what that reminded me of, and like, and I thought it was cool. And the other thing is, what Pastor Jim told about the story of the guy, I can't remember what his job was, but like he wanted to try to make time to pray, but when he would sit down and pray, it would be rushed or he wouldn't do
it. Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so he would just sigh, like knowing that he needed to make time to pray, but it wasn't happening. And then how like there was more prayer in that sigh than there was in like the rushed prayer or like not praying at all. And
yeah.
I really thought that was like an interesting way to look at it, too, because I know for me, a lot of the times I'm like, I know I should be sitting and down and praying, but I'm not. And so in all of my that's means more than my not praying.
I think you're right. Yeah. So then with that, it's like, you can just kind of do that into a segue into a prayer, like all the pondering about praying to God. And then you end that with, in Jesus' name, amen, basically.
Yeah. Jesus' name, amen. Yeah.
Yeah. That's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah, that's a good idea. All right. Well, any other thoughts?
I feel like we had a really great understanding of the sermon. And I feel like we had a lot of amazing conversations tonight just about our things that are going on in our life, but also, you know, remembering how miracles come about and basically that God has a plan for us all and it's okay to not understand everything and
right.
And then through everything through prayer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Miracles are always like parting the Red Seas. Like Jessica said, sometimes they're just little mini miracles that bring you, and you don't even see the payoff until like years later. So
Yeah. Exactly. It's just really like amazing, honestly. And I think that's just like God guiding us on a path, you know, and something else that kind of is really special is the fact that we've talked about this previously, but God always being faithful, and we can kind of see that in our lives. It's like these miracles happen and it's like God is seeking us out and we're seeking God, and it's just like a really like special circumstance all the time. And so it's just really like nice that we can be a part of like a church community and we can like share our love for God with others and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah. Agreed. And I feel like there's like only one thing really left that we can do.
And it's the other
one. Ultimately, it's stay mad, you Methodist.
Wait, what about prayer requests?
I'm not gonna pray. Okay, good night, guys.
Good night.
This has been going on for too long, guys. I gotta go.
Good night. I gotta go. I need to go.
All right, what are your guys' prayer requests?
Beth, I know what my prayers are. I'll see you later.
Beth has left and now
Beth has left the building.
I do have a quick prayer. I did take Jovi to the vet last week because we've been walking for like 3 months and I feel like she hasn't lost any weight and the scale said the same thing. So,
so there's data to prove this.
Data to prove it. Yeah. The science is backing up my hypothesis.
Yes.
So, she's now on diet. She's on a diet. She's on weight management food. And the vet asked me if I would prefer wet or dry food. And I was like, oh, let's do wet food. Cause then she won't feel like she's on a diet.
Yeah.
And we did that. She scarfed down that food like she was training to enter the fastest dog eating contest, dog food eating contest. And by the way, she won that.
Yeah.
And
then, I'm sure she got the medal.
Scarfed it down so fast and then was running to the other bowls to eat their dry food. And I was like, okay, this is not working. So now she's on a combination of wet and dry food. And she's only been on this diet for maybe like less than a week. And the vet wants to see us like once a month to see if it's working. And I've tried to just do things in my own like half baked way, like, oh, we'll try this. And then I just fall off of it. But now that I'm paying extra money for all of this expensive dog food and It's going better now that she's got the dry food. She still is done faster than everybody, but she didn't win first place in that competition. But
okay.
Yeah. There was something else, but I don't remember.
If you remember it, you can share it.
I was going to ask if you had an update about Owen, if there's anything to share. If not, that's okay.
No, not really. Yeah, things are about the same with
him. Okay.
So, and obviously continued prayers for him always.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you for sharing, Beth.
Yeah. And I think that's all I have.
Okay.
So that Jovi and I can lose the weight. More Jovi than me, but I won't. You know, if somebody was just like measuring out my food and telling me when to eat and how much to eat, I could do it. Why can't prayers that can happen for me, that someone else is in charge of my food?
Oh, okay. Yeah, absolutely.
I sometimes think that I would prefer that, because then I would eat more often because I forget to eat a lot.
Yeah. I go through phases where I forget to eat a lot, or I never forget, and I even include extra meal times in there.
Yeah, I'm kind of like
no in between.
For me, I kind of work my life around my diet to where I don't do things because I'm like, I gotta go home and eat. And then I can't, like, I make it hard for myself to live my life sometimes because of the diet.
On a schedule, because you're a golden retriever. That makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
And I can't see anything, so I don't know where I'm going.
Because you forget to eat it. Yeah. Because you can't
see it. Wow. Oh my God. I should get going full circle here with the.
Yeah.
Anyway, what about you guys? Any prayers for you?
You can go, Jessica, if you want.
Yeah, I'll go real quick. I think maybe just prayers for everybody in our house in terms of like health. I'll just piggyback off of Beth with dogs. Our dogs are like 13 years old, and but like one of them has had Cushing's for a few years, and normally they're not supposed to be around after a few years. And so there's certain things that she's like, our dog has done that has kind of like caused concern. But anyway, we're going to give them both checkups to kind of see what's going on. And one of them, we're going to make an appointment to get his teeth cleaned, which is very scary for a 13-year-old dog, because if you put them under, there's a very big risk of certain things. But I mean, he's at a point where like we can tell that he's in pain because he's just like barking in our closet at nothing. Or maybe he's telling us we have ghosts. I don't know, but
could be.
Yeah. Anyway, so prayers for them. And anyway, Miles was, we were all like, we all had like head colds. And I feel like we're getting out of it. But like, anyway, Miles is doing a lot better, but he's still like super congested. And so just continued prayers that he'll continue the path of getting better. And because it's so like we have to like suck out the boogers, and it's
He
thought it was fun at first, and now he's like he hates it. He really doesn't like it. So
sorry.
So yeah,
I can really relate to Miles, like it being fun at first and then hating it. Yep, that sounds about right.
His naps have been off because he like will want the pacifier in his mouth, but then he can't breathe because he's got his mouth covered.
It's just like we
have been so sad about it. But again, he is getting better, and we want to continue that path. So just continued prayers that continues.
Yeah, absolutely, so. Jessica.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Tam.
I think that kind of going off of the Methodist moment, a prayer for me to actually get to that point in my prayer relationship with God to where I can kind of move past some roadblocks, like just what I described in my my update, how I actually want to like stay off of my phone and really do healthier kind of habitual behaviors instead. Like, I think if I was to like talk to God more and have those like prayers that I think I need to have, then I think I'll be able to actually like follow through a little bit better. So yeah, a prayer for me to just kind of be able to cultivate that better relationship with God. And then what was the other thing? I'm trying to remember. I think it was a prayer for me to, no, you know what? The Methodist moment just probably took whatever that was. So yeah, that's all I got.
Can I add one more quick prayer because I forgot and I remembered?
Yeah. Okay.
Owen had a job interview at Marshall's today.
Oh,
yeah. Wow. So just prayers that maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He said it went better than the first interview that he had. So that's good. But he still said he was a little bit nervous. So,
yeah.
And I was like, yeah. I think they understand that. But yeah, just prayers that maybe this is the one.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. 100%.
I'm still secretly hoping he can randomly get a job at the movie theater so we can all go watch movies and he can give us popcorn. But
it would just be really cool to see him there. I'll just be like, oh, hey, Owen, what did you think of this movie? And then he'll be able to tell me, or if he hadn't saw it yet, I could be like, oh, man, you got to see this movie, or oh, no, this movie is no good. Don't see this one.
But also it runs in his family. Because my dad worked in a movie theater when he was in high school, and my brother worked in a movie theater when he was in high school. So, I mean, it's
wow.
it's his legacy, but they don't take legacy into consideration on your resume.
Right. Yeah. I mean, too bad. You know, it's like that should be a standard question with the movie theater application. Does movie theatering run in your family?
Yeah. Yeah, seriously. Like, we got to learn from the past here. Kings and queens, they're passed down generation to generation. Same thing with movie theater. Like, people who provide services for movie theaters, you know?
Yeah.
Yep. That's how it needs to be.
Now that I think about it, they were movie theater attendants in South Dakota, and we're in California. So maybe the legacy can only happen in South Dakota and not in.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
maybe
okay.
We screwed it up. Maybe this is my mm-hmm. most things
is,
are.
So. Is that like a movie theater kingdom or something like that? Like passing down movie theater talents from generation to generation, like a kingdom?
Yeah. I was actually talking to Craig today about. Like, I was like, should I just be the queen? I was like, I already got the name. And Craig's like, yeah, go for it. So I think I'm gonna do it. I'm queen now.
Wait, you're gonna be the queen of the movie theater? Wait,
just the world?
Wish
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. I'm trying to think how. Oh, you know what? What are the characters in Wicked? They're those are witches. Yeah. So in this case, you're the queen. Yeah, that's cool. That's cool.
Of Lancaster, California. Anyway, did we do it? Did we solve all of the world's problems? Or maybe
we totally did. I mean, it's insane how we do this every other week.
Yeah, yeah. Like somehow it just comes together, and like we just got like, I don't know. I don't know why I was thinking about star power, but yes, we have star power in this podcast.
I guess all that's left for there to do then is to
stay mad, you Methodists. Pieces, we all have names. No matter what life brings us, Jesus is the same. We're just your Methodists to the madness. Methodists to the madness. Methodists to the madness. Methodist to the man.